Hello, you're listening to Peaches Aren't the Only Fruit Podcast, PATOF Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram, a fan podcast about the Amazon Prime series, A League of Their Own. I'm Emma, I'm here with my co-host Karen, and we're going to jump right into it. Very exciting news, potentially exciting news, about a season 2 renewal. This is something, if you've been listening to our episodes, we've said it's not yet been confirmed, but just this week, information came out in The Hollywood Reporter, as well as other places, saying that there's going to be a season 2 renewal with 4 episodes, half of what we saw for season 1, which was 8 episodes. Now, it's been months since we've gotten information, and this would be a really huge development. However, series showrunner Will Graham has said on Twitter that the information is not yet confirmed. So I'm going to turn it over to Karen. What do you think is really going on, and what does this really mean?
You know, I think this is a really interesting quote-unquote leak. This is going to sound wonkish, but it kind of reminds me of the leak that Roe v. Wade was going to be overturned. That leak came out of the Supreme Court. That leak enabled people to get, in essence, agitated in advance of the release of that actual information.
Karen, what you're saying, that's really common when it comes to media information. Things will leak that are actually coming from a named person associated with an entity or a decision, but they don't want to go on the record as saying it. Are you thinking that this could have come from somebody who's really close inside the show or inside of Amazon?
Yeah. If I was a betting person, I would put money on that. And I think in this case, Will Graham saying it's not confirmed, but this is an opportunity for the fandom to raise their voice and show how large this fandom is. I would not be surprised if this leak had come from Graham, someone at Amazon who's a fan of the show, releasing this information early in an effort to perhaps influence Amazon. I don't think Amazon's going to be influenced. But yeah, certainly based on all of the retweeting, all of the articles that are coming out now, the lack of denial by Amazon Prime, I do think this information is probably accurate. And I want to add to what you said, this is not a good news story at all. This is actually a terrible news story because it's not just there's a season 2 that will be 4 episodes. It's there's a season 2 that's 4 episodes and that's it. This is the equivalent of a quiet cancellation. And that's terrible.
You know, that's really unfortunate because I know that there are so many fans out there who have been waiting with bated breath to hear something. You know, I have looked on social media and seen some people who are disappointed, like you said, with a quiet cancellation. There are some people saying that this is scraps of what was deserved, of what the show deserved. And you made a really interesting point about the popularity of the show because, I mean, I'm sure you've looked online. Like, my impression is that this is a pretty highly rated series.
Yeah, one of the things that you and I talk about offline all the time is how can you tell from the streamers how popular a show is or isn't? All of the streamers have been very close hold with viewer data. That's really unfortunate because it doesn't enable us to understand viewership trends. Maybe it's competitive. We can understand the effort to establish competitive advantages, but in this case, we can't see how many people watched, let's say, A League of Their Own compared to The Rings of Power. And that means that from the outside, we have to just take someone's word that it wasn't popular enough for renewal. But at the same time, I honestly think Amazon Prime is lying. And yes, I said it. I think Amazon Prime is lying about the ratio of viewership to cost. Because when we look at a show like Jack Ryan, and you've got explosions and multiple set locations around the world, that's an expensive show. Whereas when you look at A League of Their Own, it's the house, it's a baseball field, and it's Max's house and the factory. I mean, there really aren't that many locations. So relatively, it's a lot cheaper. And I'm willing to bet that the viewer base is large enough to support that show, that budget for that show.
That's a really good point in terms of traditional media versus new media and understanding the metrics. Some of our listeners may be young enough that they're not familiar with the Nielsen ratings, which is a rating system that after big events, I mean, even for regular television shows, and still to this day, you'd be able to see X number of people watch the Oscars. X number of people are watching a certain show, and it used to be that things were very much pegged to, this is a top-rated show in this demographic. It was, you know, not fully transparent, but it was much more transparently discussed when things were on traditional television or, say, box office releases, where those numbers would be put out of how much money it made, how many theaters things opened at. But in the world we're in now with streaming, you really get a lot less information. I mean, how are you to know how many people actually watch something? Even when a show or a movie drops, it's not like, oh, it went to X number of theaters. There was X number of income from it. People might be binge watching all in one day. People might be watching over a week or a month. And so the ability for us as audiences to understand that information and then how decisions are made about that information is much more limited. And as you pointed out, Amazon seems to be putting a lot of priority into shows based on Lord of the Rings, Jack Ryan. Why do you think that is?
Something that we've seen over the last year is this wave against diversity. That spans not just LGBT content, it spans race, it spans religion, it crosses really all facets of diversity. When the streaming services got new leadership, a lot of the new leaders said, we want to do away with diversity. As the global economy goes into recession and economies contract, weirdly enough, the white men that have stayed in power have decided that the solution is more white people. But the audiences, they don't change. They're just as diverse as they always were. They want that same diversity. And yet we've seen a fallback to these old tropes. The head of the DC Universe, for example, when he put forth the slate of what movies were going to be released, it's more Superman, it's more Batman, it's The Flash, it's yet more white males. So if we see that at the tentpole blockbuster level, it's trickling down as well to the lower levels. The head of HBO Max said, we want to do away with diversity, we want more white men. And he said this openly, and it looks like that contagion effect is affecting Amazon Prime and others. I saw that Disney Plus just today, and we're recording this on Wednesday, March 15th, announced the cancellation of Willow. And again, I don't know what the viewership numbers were for Willow, but the leads, it was queer women, people of color, this very group that adds inclusivity and brings in a larger viewer demographic is now being shut out. There's this gamble that people want to see the old storylines with white people. When this trend first started, I refused to believe it. I said, I think this is just sexism because a lot of minority characters are female. So it's like, oh, well, it's not being canceled because it's lesbians. It's being canceled because it's women. And I think that still absolutely comes into play. But I think we really are seeing more definitive signs that it's diversity writ large that's being rejected by the elites in Hollywood. And a plug for any uber data nerds like myself, the University of Southern California, Annenberg, puts together an annual report looking at the top 100 grossing movies. And it's broken down by gender and it's broken down by race. It's broken down in a lot of ways for these characters. And at the end of the day, this is both in front of the camera and behind it. What we're seeing is that C-suite, the executives that make the decisions about what stories will be told, it is still all white men. And they have made the decision in 2023. It started in 2022, but the decision 2023 that the world needs more white men.
And I think that also speaks to the fact that there's so many properties now that are building off of legacy vehicles. In some ways, A League of Their Own getting a reboot was building off of, obviously, a legacy movie in the past. But this is one of the few takes that's really putting a very new spin and looking at it through a new lens of the traditional movie. And there are definitely other cases in which that's being done. But the issue being that it's becoming few and far between. As you said, they're leaning back on, let's just reboot the same kind of stories that we've seen before, rather than taking a chance on putting it through a new perspective. Because there are a lot of stories that you could take the core and then add new kinds of characters, tell them in a different way, show an angle that wasn't shown before. But there does seem to be a doubling down on what we have seen in the past. So do you think that the show is going to come back for this 4-episode run?
Yes, I think it will. And then I think that will be the wrap up that enables Abby Jacobson and Will Graham to finish what they started. I think probably the studios want to keep Will Graham happy. He has done several very successful shows with Amazon Prime, and I think they're probably looking toward the future and wanting to do more shows with him. But I want to go back to something that you said, which is intellectual property right. The IP is who possesses the rights to a story. And one of the excuses given by Amazon was, oh, well, it's really expensive to pay for the rights to A League of Their Own from Sony. And that they went to Sony and asked them to reduce that royalty rate so that the show could continue. And I just want to call BS on that, because again, Jack Ryan is also someone else's IP. As we've discussed before, Lord of the Rings was $500 million, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars just to buy that property right. When we look at some of the things that are being aired, it's not that expensive. To me, these are just excuses for why they're taking diversity off the air.
And just to drop one fact in from what you mentioned with the Annenberg report, in the latest update in early 2023, they noted that this is somewhat of a bright spot of seeing more women of color featured. In 2022, they said 16% of the top 100 grossing films featured a girl or woman from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group in a leading or co-leading role. This was an increase from 11% in 2021 and one movie in 2007, but it's still less than the percent of girls and women who are non-white in the United States. So even if we're making gains, which is great, and we've made some gains, we're still under really where we probably should be, and we're barely getting there.
Yeah, and something that I want to highlight as we ask, like, why in 2023 is diversity in the crosshairs? It comes back to the same question of why do people suddenly care about the very small, small number of drag queens reading books at public libraries? To me, these culture wars, they're fake wars. It's, in essence, a red herring. Again, I mentioned the economy contracting. There are a lot of things that are happening, and sometimes it feels like it's like, oh, I don't want you to look at these negative consequences of something else over here. I want you to pay attention to drag queens instead. This is called the Wag the Dog effect, referencing a movie that came out in the 1990s. Now, do people realize that's what's happening? No. But is it effective? Yes. I think it's also really easy for interested actors to shift our focus somewhere else and blame minorities.
Absolutely. I totally agree. But I think that we are going to have to discuss this on a future episode because we have so much to say. Now, our next episode is going to be looking at the season one finale, episode 8. And then we're going to plan to come back and discuss what we could see in season 2, what we expect with the storylines, obviously, whatever the latest developments are with the show actually coming back. But again, really exciting, tentatively exciting, cautiously exciting news today. Karen, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Next episode, obviously, the season finale, so much to talk about, but again, man, I just don't see how you can take all of these storylines and give them resolution in just 4 episodes for season 2. So I think we should talk about that. And in essence, what storylines just aren't going to get the kind of resolution we might have wanted just because there's not going to be time for it.
I know. I'm really concerned about that as well. I think that there was so much, as we've said, packed into the first 8 episodes. It's going to be really difficult, and the show writers are going to have a big challenge to wrap things up if there's limited space. But for now, we are Peaches Aren't the Only Fruit podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PATOF podcast, on Tumblr at podcast in progress. You can find me, Emma, at Plateless Ordinary. You can find Karen at Les, L-E-Z, underscore dish, Les Dish on social media. And we are super excited to discuss the show with you moving forward. So catch you next time.